Ghostly Talk. Broadcasting from the world famous Haunted Winery here in Warren, Michigan. This is Ghostly Talk on January 20th, 2007.
Ghostly Talk is independently produced every Sunday night from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time to converse about all things paranormal. For more info, go to www.ghostlytalk.com.
Thank you, Bonnie. Tonight, Bonnie Bent, another Bonnie, Bonnie Bent from the San Diego Paranormal Research Project joins us. We'll be talking to Dwayne Claude about his new book, Baptism by Fire. Jeff Belanger joins us to talk about the Tombstone Ghost Conference. And finally, we'll be walking between worlds with Ann Andrews.
To listen too loudly.
Cold in here?
It's cold outside, that I know.
Oh, it is cold.
Bitter, bitter, biting cold. It was 3 degrees, negative 8 wind chill or whatever, real feel or whatever, where I was this past weekend.
And it's supposed to be 17 below overnight.
17 below?
Bundle up, yeah, with the wind chill.
It finally hit us here in Michigan.
Yes, welcome.
We were spoiled for a while there. We thought we were going to get through this winter without too much damage, but yeah, we're going to freeze solid here this week, it looks like.
Excellent. Just what I wanted to hear.
This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Doug.
And I'm Bonnie.
A lot going on tonight.
Yeah, I see that.
Say that a lot. We say that every week.
Pretty much.
But yeah. This is the truth. There's always a lot going on this show every week. We always have a lot of stuff happening. It's a very busy show, I guess. But this week, it's one of those, what you refer to as a parade. It was not going to be quite as busy, but a bunch of stuff happened, kind of.
Right.
We had to pull it together, so it just kind of worked out that way.
Well, you did good organizing all this stuff. I'm excited to talk to Dwayne.
Oh, yeah. It's good to talk to
you. Because he doesn't return my phone calls.
Dwayne!
Well, only one.
No,
I called him one time.
He might be listening, obviously, so we're going to rip on him. Dwayne, what's wrong with you, man? What's your problem?
I called up to voicemail, 6 months ago, and I'm still waiting.
Dwayne? He called me!
Yeah, well, evidently you're up there on the
list. Yeah, but you're a radio star.
Yeah, that's true.
No, I'm the go-to guy. Or if something breaks, call Scott. Couple announcements. ORBP4 is still going on as we speak.
Yes.
Vance is taking submissions. The page is on the Ghostly Talk site under the projects block on the homepage on the left side of the site. Check it out. We want everybody to be part of that. It's a great project.
I encourage everybody to sit down, pencil and paper or whatever, and jot down, do some remote viewing.
Well, ORVP stands for Open Remote Viewing Project. We mean open because it's open to everybody.
Yeah, everybody, give it a try, whether you have formal training or not, especially if you don't. I mean, we want to get a feel for remote viewing.
Mm-hmm.
Best way to do that is to dive right in.
Oh yeah, absolutely, and that's what we're doing. It's going on. I forgot when we're going to cut off the submissions. I've talked to Vance about that, but as of right now, like this week and next week after that, we're taking them. It's wide open.
Yep.
Get in there and take care of that. You got to be be part of it. It's a really great thing, and we always have a lot of fun doing this. This is our fourth one, so it means we enjoy doing it.
Yes.
That's what the four stands for.
And it's mystified us. The results of the past three have been really interesting and intriguing. The more people who do it, the more data there is.
Mm-hmm.
And the more people who get who become exposed to it and are part of a real project. Mm-hmm. So give it a go.
Yeah, absolutely. I mentioned last week that I was hoping or wishing or wanting our listeners slash viewers slash whatever they may be, the site's the way the site's designed, and this is Doug's ingenuity and brilliance. Well, you didn't design Drupal.
It just sort of happened, yeah.
But you put it together. I mean, this isn't an easy thing to do.
And then we took all the color out of it.
Yeah, we took all the pretty stuff. We made it black and white, keep it basic.
We're like, all right, how do you get rid of all this eye candy? Chop, chop,
yeah.
chop.
But it has a lot of colorful features, though.
Yes, okay. It does.
And one of them is that any of our listeners or people who are a part of the website who register an account can submit news stories or articles and stuff like that. And I mentioned this last week in great detail, and I got several emails from people going, well, that's really great, Scott, but how do we do it? Didn't really mention that. Well, I thought it was pretty simple, okay? So I'll explain. It's really easy. When you log into your Ghostly Talk account on the Ghostly Talk website at www.ghostlytalk.com.
Oh, yeah. Over on the left, it expands says, the menu, and one of them is...
submit content.
Submit content, yeah.
It's the very top. It's the very top. Top little box thing we have there.
Over on the left, up
on
the
left,
top.
Over the top is submit content. You click on that, it'll give you an option for a couple of different things. One of them is story. I think that's all really people get is they can submit a story, I think, with the privileges. So click on that, and all you do then is just fill in the stuff. Just fill in the stuff. It gets put into the submission queue for us to look at, and then we put it up on the homepage.
Right. And
that simple.
When you do your stories, do you copy paste or do you write up a little summary and then do a link?
I copy paste, but I always link. That's the big thing.
Because the best way to do it is to write a little summary. And,
oh, really?
And then link, because that way you don't have to cite. If you copy paste, you're supposed to actually cite the author and all these different.
Well, you're dealing with a link, though. I thought.
Well, of course, but it's best if you do your own words.
I don't have the time for that.
Mm-hmm.
What's this crap?
Mm-hmm.
When I used to submit, I would write my own little summary.
And how many years ago was that?
Yeah.
Getting hot in here.
What we'll do? I'll take that's actually correct. You know, if you guys want, please at least include the author of the story. If you find a cool story,
if you're copy and pasting, if you do your own little summary, then
you're good
all
to go.
Yours.
You're good
but
to go.
We'll just that and then link.
Definitely
the story.
Send the link though. We need a link for that. That's huge. We need a link for the story and stuff like that. Yeah, if you're just gonna post a whole story in there, we need to have the author if you didn't write that.
Right.
You can get in a lot of trouble for that. But I always just copy paste and I put the link to go to the actual original article it came from.
Right.
You know, which cites, you know, obviously cites everything. That's what I'm hoping to do is we want to help these people out, too, by posting their articles up and getting their work exposed, too.
Right, because if your website has, if it can do RSS feeds,
mm-hmm.
you
mm-hmm.
notice we've got, we have a couple RSS feeds on our homepage.
Yeah, we got one from Paranormal News, we have one from ghosttoghost.org.
Right.
We have one from blabbermouth.net.
Yeah, I saw that.
I had to.
I'm like, Marilyn Manson's on our homepage all of a sudden. Wild.
That may come down. I just thought it's just fun to play with this technology sometimes.
But if your site can do RSS feeds, there are some sites that reciprocate and have Ghostly Talk News on their site.
Yeah, completely.
It keeps your site fresh and interesting with new content. Just when we update our site, your site automatically gets updated if you do that RSS feed linking.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, we've reciprocated as well with a couple sites.
Yeah,
so
yeah, we love to do that.
Works out really nice.
So, definitely check that out. That's how it's done. It's very, very simple. Thank you for the emails, though. I appreciate people taking an interest.
Bonnie's having a good time in the chat room.
Yeah, what's going on over there?
Anybody who's listening who's at a computer can go to www.ghostlytalk.com. And over on the left, there's like chat when live or something like that.
Something going on there we should know?
It's fine. I'm talking to your mom.
Oh, cool.
And I'm not going to repeat what was said, but your mom is a trip. That's all I can say.
Mom L. joins the chat. This is awesome. And of course, our chat room is open when we're live. And
oh, my God.
I think it gets reused.
God.
I think it gets reused for several shows that come up on the network.
Oh, so, sound, yeah.
Yeah. So
I'm a little off kilter.
So that chat room occasionally through the week is a hopping place to be.
Yeah, it's a hopping place to be
and
right
since
now.
They
I love you, Mom Al.
Yeah, great.
And
I'm just
thoroughly
disturbed right now.
I know for example that
I'll tell you on the break what was said.
Excellent. I know I know that there is at least one person.
You want me
who,
to do it?
Yes.
Go ahead, Bonnie.
You don't have to look it up.
There is one person who's going to be listening, at least that I know, on the phone lines. And because I got a text, what's that phone line number? I'm in the car. I don't remember it. I can't look it up. And I'm like, all right. And that would be the original Fly Girl. Is listening
Jamie.
Via the phone line. I know that for a fact because I have
you know,
the text
messages. I was still eating cookies from her care package until about 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Oh, did you finish them off?
I think there's one package left in the cupboard now.
Wow, not bad. Sounds like something for the GT anniversary party or whatever. All right, we got to finish these things off. She called in and listened on the listener line. You can listen to the show in the car or on the road or sitting at home or what have you, simply by calling in a number and entering in a secret code, and you can just listen on the phone that way. It's also live. It really is a convenient way to listen to the show if you don't want to sit there at the computer and you want to listen live. I know most of our listeners download the podcast. Or hear it on the radio or that kind of thing. So what happens is this is a great way to also listen to the show live, but you have to call the number. And it is a long-distance number, so that's why you want to do it from, like, a cell phone or whatever with a package.
Yeah, you have to pay for it.
Yeah. So Bonnie, if somebody did want to listen live, what phone number would they call?
They would dial 605-475-8590. When asked for the secret code, enter 555-1081, followed by the pound sign.
And the only caveat is that at our breaks when we play independent music and things like that,
we pull everything out.
We have to mute the phone line.
Yeah.
So you don't hear anything for like 5 to 7 minutes during, you know, at the top of the hour, at the bottom of the hour, at the top of the hour, at the bottom of the hour. You don't hear that when we do our breaks. You hear nothing, and that's because we have to mute the phone line. It's a technical reason. It's something I'd like to get rid of and have everyone listen to the independent music on their phone, which would be pretty cool. But can't do it right now. It's not a licensing issue or anything like that.
No.
It's a technical reason.
Technical reason.
So if you're listening on the phone line, you won't hear the breaks, but we do come right back in, you know, right after the breaks and things like that.
Oh, yeah. One other thing I want to mention, too. Again, we mentioned this last week. My old band. MFPS.
Yes, my favorite plaid straitjacket.
Yes, we're playing February 9th at Pope 1281. There's an actual little flyer in the events tab.
Cool.
On the website. You can click on that and get all the information if you're local here, or even if you're not local. If you want to come out and see a show on the 9th, we're helping out Rabbit, one of the guys from the band.
Didn't I see a thing on MySpace, or Satan Space, Nihilation, was it?
What?
Are they a local band? Is it Nihilation? Or somebody just played out in Clarkston.
Oh, really?
And packed the house.
Oh, really?
Her latest flame?
I don't really follow too many bands.
It's one of the bands that are in my friends list because they just this past weekend were in Clarkston.
Really?
Michigan. And packed the place.
We might play their music here. Who knows?
Maybe.
I don't really keep up. I mean, on an intimate level, I don't keep up with too many bands anymore.
Maybe Nihilation is from South...
Look at Doug, the metalhead
South
here.
Carolina.
Yeah. Doug, the metalhead here.
So one of those two bands is in South Carolina. One of them is local. I can't remember which. I have to go. I'd have to go look, and I just don't have the energy right now. But I know that a local independent band packed the place.
Cool.
That's what they said. They had a fantastic time out in Clarkston, Michigan this past weekend. So let's pack up Pub 1281.
We're going to pack the place. It's only $5.
Yeah,
covered.
We want all Ghostly Talk stalkers to show
up. Well, we're sponsoring this event, too. We're one of the sponsors, so our logo is on the flyer. Pretty cool.
Ooh, that is awesome.
We're going to hang a banner up there and everything. We're allowed to hang a banner up and everything at that show if we want to. So we'll have the banners hanging up there, probably. So
I think I'll wear my hoodie the entire night.
I think you should wear your Ghostly Talk thong.
I'll probably end up wearing my Ghostly Talk t-shirt. I'm not going to wear that thong. Speaking of events,
actually, can I have that? I have a plan.
All it's done since it came here to the winery is hang.
I don't even know where mine is. I have a feeling mine is gone.
I got that thing was I got it originally. Was thoroughly disgusted with it and hung it up on something.
I give you a gift and you don't know where it is.
I know. I feel bad.
Oh, you should.
I feel bad, but it's gone. because, you know, I've been packing off and on, and mm-hmm. I just have not run across it, and I'm like, it's gone.
Speaking of events, I got to mention this.
Yes.
You asked me when we came in today, you're like, hey, so how was your big day, big family day yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I mentioned this, like, you know, okay, really fast. Like,
hold on.
What?
What time is the show at?
What's that?
The MSPS
it's,
show.
Doors open at 8 p.m.
Thank you.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. Those things you just show up to. But I told you me and Amber's new thing. Christmas night, I was on the couch watching TV, flicking around, and I ended up on the Speed Channel one.
Right, right.
And they had the Monster Jam going. Right?
Great.
I'm gonna keep it really, really brief, because I don't know what happened, but we ended up starting to watch this thing going, this is kind of fun. I haven't watched this stuff since I was a little kid. And I don't know what happened, but we just got obsessed with this thing. Ended up going out and buying Monster Jam for PlayStation 2 the day after. And then we find out that the Monster Jam's coming to Detroit January 19th at Ford Field in Detroit. We're like, wow, okay, cool. So one thing comes to another. I end up buying tickets for myself, Amber, my little sister Erica, and my dad, right? I'm like, let's all go. It'll be hilarious. Let's just go check it out. Well, there's also the auto show is going on. The international auto show is going on.
Right. The Detroit International.
Yesterday
auto
was
show.
The first day. Right. So I'm
the diet.
Yeah.
That had to be a nightmare.
It wasn't that bad. I was really blown away. So, you know, the plan was, like, we get down there, we go to the auto show for the day, we come back, you know, get some dinner, and then we go to Ford Field for the Monster Jam. Got down there, took the people mover from, like, Broadway Street, which is, like, Ford Field right there, all the way to Cobo Arena. Hop out, enjoy the day, walking around, looking at cars and stuff like that. It's pretty cool, right? So we're coming back. We're going to get back on the Cobo Arena people mover thing to take it all the way around through Greektown to stop for dinner.
Right.
And then hop back on and then go to Broadway.
Right.
And then go to the Monster Jam. So we get up on the Cobo Arena platform, right? And there is one of the security guards standing there, barking orders at everybody, screaming and yelling, you know, the usual thing, right? That's what you come to expect in Detroit. Just the friendly. In my opinion, any big metropolitan city, the friendly, the really great, you know, warm feeling you get from people there who have to work there and deal with all the moron tourists, I guess. That's what their opinion is, I guess. So we get up on the platform and, you know, we walk up and I hear, wah, 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 I'm like, for once in my life, I'm like, you know what, whatever.
See, like, the security guard in Decatur, Illinois would probably be baking you banana bread.
It'd be a little different, yeah. It's a warmer attitude. Though,
right.
Right.
Here, there's
I thought nothing of it, though.
And tasering random people.
Yeah.
Yes.
I thought nothing of it. I'm like, okay, whatever, this person's got, you know, it's cold out here, they're having a rough day. Whatever, I don't care. I'm having fun. I'm with my family and my girlfriend. We're having a great day. So we're standing there, and Lee's like, man, do this, do that, do this, do this. Yeah, worship this, and, you know, whatever it was, right? And,
read this book.
And so all of a sudden, there's a gentleman a couple people over from me as we're standing there, and all of a sudden he just goes, blurts out, sir, yes, sir, really loud.
That sounds actually like something I would do.
Well, we all cracked.
What I would do.
Everybody starts to laugh. Of course. I mean, what are you going to do? This person's like
yelling. So he got tasered?
No.
Where's the good part?
No. So I cracked up. You know, when I laugh, I kind of...
Does he take him down in a flying leap?
When I laugh at something, sometimes I hunch over and I just kind of crack up and fall
right.
over. Right. Well, I did that. I'm like, that's hilarious. Oh, my God. You know, whatever. So they
went you got tasered.
No, they went back. Wait. Worse.
Oh, wow.
They went back and forth like with smart comments back and forth. You know, back and forth. And we're cracking up, right?
Okay.
So all of a sudden I hear, that's the guy over there with the black cap on and the beard. And I kind of look around and go, oh, that guy's going to, you know, the guy who was saying stuff didn't have a black cap on and he didn't have a beard. And I'm like, well, that's kind of weird. I wonder who that guy is. And here comes the crony, her little crony guy comes running over and he points at me.
Wow.
Points at me, saying, that's the guy right there. He's the one that's been running his mouth. He's the one that's been saying stuff, right? And, I mean, what do I say? I didn't say anything. Repeatedly. Sir, I didn't say anything. I didn't say anything. Well, they didn't care about that, right? Amber's behind me pointing at the guy who actually was saying something, going, it's him! It wasn't my boyfriend. It was him, right? You know, my dad's like, you know, he's Dad Elmer. That's all he does, right? So I'm like, oh, my... I'm like, you know, so they kept pointing out, okay, here comes the, you know, the security lady, you know, she's going to come over here and, you know, teach me a lesson, right?
Ooh.
You know, and of course, okay, and okay, it wasn't the smartest thing, but I'm wearing shorts, right?
See, now, I would have gone up and said, no, it was me. Get over here in my face. I want to challenge you.
No.
I would have totally been
I didn't want to deal with it, right? I just wanted to get on the People
Doug
Mover.
Doug is Barney Badass.
Because I was having a great day, and I didn't want to wreck it, right?
I detected a new Satan's face name.
So, of course, she runs up, and she's like, so, I don't even remember what she said, but she's like, and she points at my shorts, because, of course, there's nothing wrong with me. I'm a normal guy. But she has to, you know, with any simple-minded person, they have to point out the most obvious thing because they can't think of anything else, right? Mm-hmm. So she's like, oh, you are in shorts. You're not very smart, blah, blah, blah. So, of course, now these other people are staring at me now. They're at a point where there was two people staring at me. And I'm, like, sitting there going, why are you staring at me? I didn't do anything. You know that, right? I didn't do anything. I laughed like you guys did. So I got really mad. I was not very happy about it. And I ended it right there. I let her feel like the big person because she makes about $5 an hour.
Right.
Her life's a wreck. This is what I figure. This is how you rationalize. This is how you don't kill people. You rationalize your way out of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we get on the train, and the gentleman who actually said something, he looked over at him. The first thing he said was like, hey, man, if it would have got really bad, I would have had your back. I'm like, sure. Thanks. Why did you say that?
You're also really, really big on the internet, aren't you? Like, I'm going to get you. And then, of course, you meet in person, and it's like...
Yeah, whatever. So, man. But the gentleman, he actually did apologize to me. He's like, I'm sorry. I didn't know it was going to come to that, man. I was just messing around. I'm like, you know what, dude? You didn't do anything wrong. You were messing around. That lady, she's a Fuhrer. You know, what are you gonna do when you get paid $5 an hour and you know you got to sit in the freezing cold all day long dealing with people who are having a perfectly good time, right? I mean,
right. What
would you do? You'd be probably pretty miserable also. So we get on the train though, and there's people on there going, why did she jump down your? You know, why did they? Because it was two people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why did they give you a hard time? You didn't do anything wrong, you know. And I'm like, we're just gonna end this right now. I want it over with.
Right.
Period. I just want to get off this train as soon as possible. With this pseudo train they have down there, because it's not really a train. It's a piece of crap.
I think it's a tinker toy.
Yeah, and it just had the brakes on it. I think they have a guy who just randomly pushes the brakes for fun. Just
to see
people go, woo! Right? And you're holding on to each other for dear life, trying not to get killed. That was the worst part of the day, right? But, you know, it just kind of reinforces.
You mean the other stuff, like the monster truck jam?
That was a ball.
The worst part of the day. Oh, okay.
I had a good time.
I would have been like,
it just reinforces my thing. You know how I don't like going. We live like minutes from Detroit here.
Unfortunately.
And you know, I hear all this news and talk about how great the city's becoming and how wonderful it is. But you know, as soon as you give somebody a badge or pseudo badge and a title. All of a sudden, they can do whatever they want, right? And that's why I don't like to go to that city, ever. I try not to go to that city, ever. You know, but I thought, hey, you know what? Here's a great day planned here. It should be pretty much scot-free, no problems at all. I had all the logistics planned out as how we're going to take the train, well, the pseudo train, the people mover, how we're going to do this and do that. And I had everything worked out, and I thought, we're going to have an awesome day. And we did. You know, Amber's right, because we talked about it last night. She's like, you know, you're letting this lady wreck your time, wreck your day, you know. It was one little thing. It wasn't the end of the world.
Right.
It was just something stupid. It was misunderstanding. The rest of the day was totally awesome. We had a great time.
Well, while you were doing that, I was soaking, well, I was either playing bingo, or I was soaking in a whirlpool tub and reading more haunted Hoosier tales.
I would have loved to have been there at that time.
Oh, it was so relaxing.
If I could have just, like, teleported from the Cobo Arena deck.
Yeah.
You know, of the People Mover to, like, there for a few minutes with you.
Right.
Just to get out of that situation.
It was so
and really...
relaxing. And because it was, like, 3 degrees out or whatever, and I'm in a hot tub.
Yeah.
Oh, that was sweet. I wasn't outside. It was in an indoor, you know, thing.
We had to walk around down there.
So nice.
We had to walk around down there in that 5-degree weather. And that was just brutal, man. That was so cold.
It was biting cold. It really, really was.
As a matter of fact,
you were doing that.
Yeah.
I was having dinner with my great niece and my great nephew, so I had more fun.
And
I don't know, man.
Sound fun.
The Monster Jam was pretty fun. Yeah. I have to admit it.
Babies are more fun.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are.
I'm going to argue that one. I'm going
to
argue.
Babies
that
are more
one.
Fun to me.
I found out how parents keep their kids quiet at events now too. We talked about this also. We noticed this.
I think they just give them pills now.
No, they give... Well, the ones that were in front of us, they were all mm-hmm. pretty good kids, because you want to know why. Because these parents were stuffing food down their throats every 2 minutes.
Oh,
there wasn't
that
one second where these kids were not stuffing a hot dog or nachos or some type of fatty fluid thing, whatever, you know, down their throats, right?
So, can't have a beer.
Exactly. Yeah. You know? So, but no, it was a good time. We had a good time.
A beer and a hot dog.
So, but that's my yearly trip to Detroit. For anybody out there that's traveling, I have to just say this live. If you're at Cobo Arena and you're riding the People Mover, don't say a word.
Just be quiet, silent, robotic, and get on the train as efficiently as possible.
Yeah, just don't say a word. They want you to be on that train. They don't care about you. They hate you. They want your money, and that's it.
Yes.
That's what the town's all about.
50 cents or whatever it is.
50 cents for a train ride. 50 cents for a train ride. But then, like, you know, 40 bucks for dinner. You know, X amount of dollars
Where
for tickets.
Where did you go in Greektown?
Oh, we went to the Golden Fleece.
Okay.
My only place to go. You guys hate it.
Yeah. That place is a dive. Okay.
I'm sorry. I have to comment. Because you took us there once.
If you ever make us go
and
there
my
again.
My dad loved it.
And I'm sorry. The food was fabulous.
Yes.
But it's beat up. It's an old place, man.
The place itself looks like it should be condemned.
But yeah, but that's what makes it cool, though, man.
The food was really good.
That's what makes it so cool, though, I thought. Is that, you know, it is a
Pegasus. You have to go to Pegasus or Pizzapopolis or something.
The best part.
Good.
Oh, the best part yesterday at the Golden Fleece is while we're eating, this Muslim...
The cockroaches stayed away?
No, this rabbi came in, or some type of high-up priest guy came in, and was blessing the restaurant while we were eating.
He needed to have
my
a mop.
My dad was like... He needed a
mop and a broom and...
Since when does the health department have rabbis?
I know. No, wait, you just got to say the food was great.
The food was really good, but the place looks really dirty.
It's an old place. It's
if
been there for years.
If I worked for the health department, I'd probably close it down. Because it looks like it has many, many violations.
Oh, man. The bathroom isn't to die for. I'll admit that.
The bathroom? What about the rest of the place? It's a pit.
They
it's
wipe the
dive.
Tables down. They wipe them down. I don't know what you guys want, man.
Oh, my gosh.
And, you know, this is...
You guys eat... We're at the Coney, like, well nowadays, once a month.
This is what shocks me, though, because you, for the most part, are kind of a little bit of a clean freak.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it shocks me that you would eat in a place that looked like it could possibly be dirty.
Well, my dad loved it, and that's all that matters, because I wanted to have
my dad
a good
and
time.
And I have to say, when we went to the Golden Fleece, I had an absolute fantastic time. I mean, you remember when we were down there.
It was an amazing night.
I was with my friends. I mean, we could have been at McDonald's and had a good time. But the Golden Fleece was, of course, fantastic food.
Mm-hmm.
Which is better than McDonald's, and then...
Well, why did you guys ask me where we were going to eat at? You know what I was going to say. I said Greektown.
I was hoping you would take your mom
somewhere.
Well,
okay,
like
if
Pegasus.
It's any consolation, I did say... Our original plan was we were going to go to Pizzapopolis.
Which is a phenomenal...
Phenomenal restaurant.
Yeah.
We walked up there, and we're like... There was like 50
packed.
People hanging out the door, and it was like 5 degrees outside. I'm like, look, I know a place 3 doors down.
There'll be nobody there. Because nobody wants
and then
to eat
there. Was some tourists. There was some tourists out there also. They're like, where should we eat at? I'm like, go to the Golden Fleece.
And they're like, are you sure?
Did they shoot you after
that? No, they didn't. We had a great time.
I'm just kidding. The food is really good, but the place...
It's the best gyros around, man.
The look of the place leaves a lot to be desired.
Yeah.
That's the kind of restaurant I like, though. I like a place that's a little beat up on. I don't like the perfect little, you know...
I'm not saying you need to go somewhere with a maker.
Welcome to BINGO Tuesdays. How can I help you? Come on in. I got my flair on. This place is perfect in every single way. No, I like an authentic Greek person to walk up to me and go, what do you want? Opa! There you go.
Oh,
right.
My Lord. Is it break time?
Yeah, it's break time.
Oh, gosh. Thank heaven.
Thanks for letting me get that out. I'm going to probably have the whole city of Detroit on me now, but, you know, whatever. I don't even care anymore.
Send your hate mail to scottl@ghostlytalk.com.
Yeah, please. Send it. I don't really care. You know, I'm sick of that place. I'm tired of that town.
Well, Jamie and some other folks are on that phone line. You can listen live by calling. What's the phone number, Bonnie?
605-475-8590. When asked for the special code, enter 555-1081, followed by the pound sign.
And unfortunately, you guys won't be hearing the commercial breaks. They're not really commercials. They're just what we play, the independent music and stuff. I hope you guys, other than those on the phone, are going to enjoy it. But we will rejoin right after this.
For more information, visit ghostlytalk.com. We'll be right back.
say, Sean B., I've been thinking about all the things necessary to produce a proper paranormal broadcast.
Do tell, Nathan S., what are these vital qualities?
Empathy, commitment, quiet dignity, and self-respect.
Indeed. What a shame we don't have any of those traits.
Oh, yeah, the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show is rocking its way on the supernatural scene.
It's drive-time paranormal broadcasting without the driving or the timing. Just go to www.ghostandthedemon.com.
Think you know what goes bump in the night? You ain't heard nothing yet.
Each week, we'll be bringing you the best and the worst of kept secrets in the paranormal community.
Yeah, us, the Ghostman and Demon Hunter, Sunday from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
www.ghostandthedemon.com. The Ghostman and Demon Hunter show is beyond the normal broadcast.
So you're seeking the truth? You have questions or answers? Join a community of like-minded people on the Nipers forums. Simply go to the Nipers website, www.nnyprs.com. Click on the Nipers Discussion Forum. Here you can browse our many topics covering all aspects of the paranormal field. Ask your questions, post your comments, get answers, seek truth. The Nipers Discussion Forums, your forums.
Thank you. you believe in things that go bump in the night? Night Watchers at nightwatchers.info.
Whether you're an amateur or a professional paranormal investigator, the Night Watchers want you to investigate some of the country's most haunted places.
The Night Watchers want you.
Already in a group? Perfect. Groups are welcome. Join today at nightwatchers.info.
Night Watchers at nightwatchers.info. The future of paranormal investigation.
Is the owner of the San Diego Paranormal Research Project. Her research of paranormal activity in the San Diego area is widely known. She received an Excellence Award for her research from her colleagues at Sacramento Paranormal Investigators. Bonnie was known as the resident psychic at the Villa Montezuma, where she has channeled information that has been proven by historical fact. She has assisted Thomas and Anna Whaley of the world-famous Whaley House in Old Town and Jesse Shepard of the Villa Montezuma in Sherman Heights. These projects are still ongoing. Ghostly Talk would like to welcome Bonnie, your website. I have it written down as www.sdparanormal.com, so with no underscores or anything. So I figured it's San Diego Paranormal, so sdparanormal.com. Welcome to Ghostly Talk.
Oh, thanks for having me. You can also reach me through bonnievent.com if that's easier for people to remember. It just transfers you over there.
Oh, perfect. Oh, I like that.
This is going to be fun talking to you because we're going to be going back and forth because we have our own Bonnie here, too.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I can be BV. How's that?
Yeah, BV and BS.
Well, and that actually really, really characterizes things.
Yeah, very good. Very nice. Now, Bonnie... You know, I've been through some of this material, and it's boggling, to say the least. And that's why we're like, okay, well, we'll get it from the horse's mouth. No, and don't take that the wrong way, please.
Oh, yeah. Did you just call her a horse?
I didn't call anybody a horse. Oh, okay. It's a term.
But you are a paranormal researcher, and you are a psychic, and this is fantastic. So what I'm wondering is how do you go about things, and what have you run across?
Well, in actuality, probably a better term for me would be a research medium, because I'm slanted, obviously, on the psychic side. Mm-hmm. And, my situation is a little bit different than what people expect when you say the word psychic, which is why my mother gave me the handle of spirit advocate.
Okay.
Because I actually represent the person who's passed.
Okay.
In a normal situation, you would have the psychic sitting with the living family members trying to connect to someone, a lost loved one or whatever. In my situation, I'm actually contacted by the spirit person who has messages that they want to deliver to living family members.
Okay.
So it's the exact opposite.
Interesting. It's like... instigated by the other side rather than this side.
Right. Well, my little joke is I work for the dead guy and he doesn't pay very well.
That's true. I think their credit cards
expire. They have no money over there.
Yeah, their credit cards expire pretty quickly over there.
Well, that works pretty well for them on the other side, but for over here, you know, where we live on a monetary-based society, it kind of sucks.
Yeah, it does. Well, when you do this, you go into some place like the Whaley House, which is absolutely notoriously famous, right?
Right.
And then do they line up to talk to you?
Well,
and
I'll give you a real life example, and I know you have Jeff coming on the show later on.
Yeah, Mr.
And I contributed this story to the Encyclopedia of Haunted Places, which is his book.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I went into the Whaley House. This is back in 1993. And if you recall, or if you see old pictures of Whaley House, there used to be mannequins in the house.
Right.
And so I'm upstairs, and I walk past this room, which is actually was the master bedroom. Whaley House has changed since the year 2000, but it was the master bedroom, and here's this mannequin, and there was a very nice lady that was sitting sewing right next to me, and I'm hearing this voice say, "I really don't like those mannequins in my house. It scares people, and I really don't like my dress being on that mannequin." So because this is what I do, I go to the curator who's sitting right there, and I said, "You know, please don't think I'm crazy, but this is what I heard." Mm-hmm. And she said, "Honey," she goes, "I don't think you're crazy, because you, me, and Anna Whaley are the only ones that know that that's her dress."
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Now, later on, I did some research on this, because this dress actually came from France, and it's beaded and really expensive, and I'm thinking, you know, why the heck would she need that kind of dress in San Diego, which, you know, back then was saloons, brothels, all that.
Mm.
And so I actually found a newspaper account from 1888 that she wore that dress to the gala at the Hotel Del Coronado.
Oh,
wow.
And there's a full description of her, and Lillian Whaley was the last Whaley to live at Whaley House. And so here's this, you know, little reference that Miss Lily attended. Well, she would have been a baby at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I do, the full complete piece, because one, I receive information clairvoyantly, clairaudiently, but I also try and do the full loop historically if I can to verify that information.
Well, that's a really important piece, though, too. I mean, and I'm not going to take a stab or anything like that, but a lot of psychics say, well, this is what happened here. This is what happened here, and what I say goes and stuff like that. We've been through this stuff before.
Yeah,
but you're actually taking the next step, though.
And there are a few. I've run into a few folks who then want to dig in and do the research that would be associated with it, but there's a lot of folks who just, you know, get the information, pass it on, and then it sort of falls on the floor because nobody wants to dig in. It,
mm-hmm.
You know, they'll either take it as fact or not look into it and find out whether it's fact and just not believe it. And then
right.
you've lost validity to some information.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing, you know, isn't that what we're all trying to figure out, is what happens after we die? And we're trying to gather evidence, and, you know, each one in our own way. You know, there's a lot of different ways to tackle the question.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things I wanted to go ahead and talk about, because I would not under normal conditions talk about receiving a message that was delivered to a family member,
mm-hmm.
and I just want to make that clear, I don't normally do that,
mm-hmm.
Especially on a high-profile situation. But there's been a lot of media attention lately, especially in Australia, about John Edward doing a performance down there, and a lot of upfront press about hoping that he would receive a message from Steve Irwin.
Whoa.
And the fact of the matter is that I received a message from Steve Irwin just a few hours after his death. And as you guys know, because I sent you all of the backup documentation,
mm-hmm.
I can prove not only that I received the message, but that it was also delivered to Terry Irwin, that she took action on that information, which wound up, I think everybody heard in the press, and were kind of shocked that the family turned down the state funeral.
Mm.
And at that time, they made mention that, you know, we have a document that says what Steve's wishes are, and it was not his wish for that. He wanted to be buried there at the zoo. And so had Steve Irwin not contacted me, and, of course, this is immediate. This is, you know, like I say, just a few hours after his passing.
Mm.
Had he not been able to get that message delivered, she might have just gone with the normal course of events, which would be to do the state funeral. And so it was very important that that information get delivered. And, you know, there's a certain, at least in my mind, reverence to these messages. You know, these are gifts, you know, that are given. And to see it turned into a publicity stunt And, you know, the press afterwards also was, well, basically what they said was is that if you paid $90 to go attend that event with John Edward and you were expecting to hear from Steve Irwin, you walked away disappointed because he did not come through during that time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, supposedly John Edward and Terry Irwin got together ahead of time and a message was delivered. Now, the thing that gets kind of interesting about this is I was really struggling with whether to go public with this or not, and we had already scheduled this interview today several months ago,
mm-hmm.
before any of this happened.
Yeah.
And you guys posted on your website that I was going to be on the show today, but it doesn't say anything other than I'm, you know, Bonnie Vents joining us on the show today.
Yeah, and a link to your website. Yeah.
Right. And someone from Brisbane, which is where all this is happening, someone from Brisbane went to your guys' website, did a search, and somehow or other wound up over on my website.
Okay.
And I took that as a sign, okay, you know, it's time. One, enough time has gone by from the original message because, you know, we're talking about, to be exact, 9/4/2006.
Okay.
Is when I got the original message.
And that was the day, obviously, was the day that Steve Irwin passed away.
Yeah, you have to factor in time difference, the international dateline, and all that.
Exactly, you're
yeah.
right.
Right, because my understanding is that he died at approximately 10 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
on 9/5, and this the message came through would be 12:05 a.m. So about 2 hours after he died.
Hmm. Now wait, and I want to. We've had people from Australia on this show before, so I'm trying to figure out exactly. I'm trying to understand the timing on this because I know they're like 10. Wait, is it like
it's really
14
wild.
Hours ahead of us or something?
It's
like
really
that?
Wild because I was so.
Yeah, it's 18 from me, so subtract 3 for you guys.
So it's like 15 hours for us,
right?
Yeah, I remember it's been like, okay, so we're going to have you on the show on the 4th, but it's actually going to be the 5th for you.
Exactly.
It's really, really
exactly.
wild.
Day
so,
is yeah. night, and night is day, and they're a day ahead.
Exactly. So,
well, it's what's interesting is, though, Bonnie, normally when I hear that somebody has received a message from somebody famous,
mm-hmm.
I normally instantly start thinking, oh, my. You know.
the eyes immediately roll.
Because you've got to have heard
yeah,
that before. Because of the whole John Lennon thing, you know, John Lennon is still writing songs and 90 million psychics have you know, channeled these things and you get it just seems to just always be happening. There was though somebody who I absolutely totally trust and,
mm-hmm.
and believe in who had gotten a message from Terry Schiavo,
mm-hmm.
which was, and then of course there's people who've gotten a message from her who I don't really know what to make of, but you have an interesting perspective. I mean, what I'm wondering, because you've only gotten the one message, right?
Actually, there was another. There, he came back on January 2nd of this year,
mm-hmm.
because I was really struggling whether to go public with this thing or not. And what he said was is that he was aware of what was going on, was not real happy about it, and he said, if you hear in the press that I talked to John Edward, don't believe it.
Wow. Well, what's interesting
that's
is
what he said, and so, you know, we're never going to know because all they're copping to is that, you know, during a private session that they got connected.
Right.
But when you look at what hit the newspaper, Steve Irwin's dad just says, well, it's not black and white, it's kind of gray, but, you know, Terry was happy with it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, she's under a lot of publicity pressure now because if you do upfront publicity, you know, hey, buy a ticket, you'll get to talk to, you know, to Steve, and then he doesn't show up in any fashion.
Well,
you know, at least John Edward has enough integrity to not fake something publicly.
Right.
And, you know, and he may not have anything to do with this because I also work in the entertainment industry. And so, you know, publicists will, you know, jump on something that they think is, you know, splash for the press.
Oh, yeah.
And the talent may not actually know about it. Usually they do, though, you know, after the fact at least.
Well, it seems like a professional courtesy that you would give anybody. I mean, we've done things on this show, but I mean, well, we know for a fact that people.
But I can imagine that John himself may even have hoped that Steve Irwin would come through for him. But
yeah.
But I don't know if it's working that way. And that's what I was trying to ask. I'm wondering. So Steve comes to you once immediately. How did he pick you? How did that happen? Here's my question. When you like pass on, right?
Uh-huh.
And you've got some unfinished business, and you want to tell somebody something, okay? But
right.
Obviously, you're pretty shocked. You're kind of confused, and you're like, "What? You know, something just majorly happened, and I can't. For some reason, I can't pick up my cell phone anymore." What would I do? I'd probably go looking immediately
for a beacon.
Yeah, for somebody who could do it.
Beacon is a good term because I've asked this question because I'm also in contact with, you know, guidance and things like that. And, you know, I ask myself the same question. Why me? You know, because it's a huge burden. If you think it's a blessing, it's really not.
I can't imagine
the blessing
having
for the recipient of the message. It's really, you know, not so easy for me because the recipient of the message is not sitting right there. But the way it was explained to me is that we show up, those of us who have the ability to communicate, show up as very bright light. And so they go to that area and try their best. There again, it's a two-way street. They have to be able to send and I have to be able to receive in order for this to connect up.
Mm-hmm. And in this particular case, it just seemed to, everything fell together. And you were able to not only receive the message but pass it on, and it came to a good outcome, something that Steve wanted.
Right. Well, you know, that gets to be a little bit magical, too. If you believe in divine connections, which I do, you know, where people just, the right person pops into your life at the right time,
mm-hmm.
That's really what happened with this, is that I work with a lot of celebrities anyhow, and so one of the people that I work with is Butch Patrick, who played Eddie Munster on The Munsters.
Oh, yeah.
And I had gotten him booked into a movie, and the movie was premiering. And so what actually happened was, first was the information about, you know, on television that Steve Irwin had died. Then I immediately get the message. So this is like, you know, 7:05 in the morning. So as soon as my little brain became aware, then it connected. So that's when I got the information.
Mm.
And, of course, I'm sitting in San Diego, California, going, how the heck am I going to get a message to Terry Irwin in Brisbane, Australia?
Especially
how am
at
I gonna
that
do
time,
that?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. How do you?
And, you know, there's always the pushbacks of, you know, why are you bothering the family? They're grieving and, you know, all of that kind of thing.
Well, of course,
but,
yeah.
You know, but I do get these messages, like, really, you know, like within a few hours. I mean, I actually have one circumstance where I notified a very well-known person at ABC about Charles Nelson Reilly dying before it hit the Associated Press.
Really?
And, yeah. Yeah. Because Charles Nelson Reilly, as soon as he crossed, he came to me. And he came to me because he knows that I can deliver messages to Butch Patrick. And he worked with Butch Patrick on a show called Lidsville back in the 70s.
I loved that show.
Okay, so the first thing was,
well, I like everything Charles Nelson Reilly. As a matter of fact, now I've
right.
got to take him off of my people I'd like to meet list. I forgot about that.
Well, you'll probably like the. Is it okay to swear, or do I have to bleep myself?
Well, what kind of swearing are we talking about?
We're on, unfortunately.
We're talking the F-bomb.
Oh, that's not going to work.
No.
Because we're on actual radio, too.
Yeah, we can't do that. No, sorry about that.
Okay, so I'll just bleep myself here.
Yes.
First thing was, Charles Nelson Reilly wanted to convey that he wanted to be known for more than just Match Game. You know, he had, you know, a whole career in the theater and so on and so on. So that was the important part of the message. Then the second part of it was, what he said was, is, tell old Butchie boy I said goodbye, little bleeper.
Well, it's obvious, you know, that I guess that's some type of verification that you retain your sense of humor.
Evidently.
Oh, absolutely.
Your life. Well, I mean, the thing that I find strange, and you mentioned this a few minutes ago concerning this, the Irwin case, I'm just wondering who from Australia is pinging our site
Because, I mean...
Well, we have listeners in Australia and
New Zealand.
I mean, we know that because we, we've seen the site statistics.
Yeah.
Those things.
Yeah, those things we have.
You know, we used to look at those more regularly than now, and we know that Australia and New Zealand are in the list.
It was a very strange coincidence, and I don't really believe in coincidences. So let me finish the connection point here, because this tells you how kind of magical this gets.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I received a message from Steve Irwin. I have no idea how I'm going to deliver it. And I also had to do some of my own publicity for Butch, because he had a premiere in Chicago for this movie he was in. So I have a bunch of Yahoo groups, one of them being the Butch Patrick Yahoo group, which has like 34 members, not very many. And so I had sent out this message that, you know, premiere's happening and it's in Chicago, and if you get a chance to see it, you know, check it out. And I get this message back from this person, John Barry, who says, you know, well, I guess I'm not going to be able to go because I live in Brisbane, and we're all really upset about Steve Irwin's death, and I went to school with Steve Irwin. And I went, oh, really? And so from there, I said, look, you know, here's what I do, and believe it or don't, you know, he's an Australian truck driver. You know, he's just a regular kind of guy. He's not into, you know, the whole woo-woo stuff. And but, you know, he was, you know, grieving too, because this was someone that, you know, he knew as, you know, as a family friend. And so he agreed that he would deliver the message. And that's what you have is documentation of not only me delivering the message to John Barry, who's, you know, lives in Brisbane, but that he is a friend and that he did deliver the message, and Terry Irwin's assistant actually went and looked for the documents in the file cabinet, I gather, from those emails.
Wow.
And then Terry Irwin called John Barry back and said, yes, we found them. Thank you very much for giving me that information. And, you know, I tend to look at things in a very logical way, and I'm thinking, you know, Steve Irwin was a risk taker, so I have no surprise that he would have a document what to do in the event of his death, even though he was in his 40s. But what came out in the press was that he had had a long-standing premonition that he was not going to live past his 40s. And Terry Irwin was quoted as saying, you know, well, that was kind of his dark side, and I chose to ignore it. And so it makes sense to me now as to why he would have drawn up the documents, put them in the file cabinet, and she not know about it.
Very strange.
Because otherwise, why wouldn't you just tell your wife, hey, here's where the stuff is if you need it, you know?
Well, you know, and just I think common sense dictates that, like you just said. He was somebody who worked in a very, very different kind of field. He doesn't like work where Doug and I work, which is relatively safe. It's not really too much.
Sometimes.
You can get ugly sometimes. But, you know, it seems like to me that it would be common sense if you work in that kind of industry that you would have stuff prepared and you would have all of your family notified on that.
Do you know, Bonnie, I also don't believe in coincidences anyway. Not that Bonnie, other Bonnie.
Yeah, yeah.
I know,
the one on the phone.
Yes.
I also am beginning not to believe in coincidence, and it's just absolutely amazing to me that you've mentioned Charles Nelson Reilly and Chicago in your half hour.
Yeah.
It just drives me up a wall that all that stuff is going on. But, unfortunately, the half hour is just
flew
that.
Right through that, Bonnie.
It's just a half hour. What a fascinating story. I want you to continue, keep doing your research, and I want folks, if you're listening, go to www.sdparanormal.com. That's San Diego Paranormal. It's sdparanormal.com. Or BonnieVent.com. And check her out, see what she's up to and what she's doing, and keep abreast of Villa Montezuma, the Whaley House, and all the other things that you're doing, Bonnie.
Oh, let's have a shout out for Villa Montezuma. The house is actually closed, and they're looking for donations to fix the foundation of the house. And so if you go to my website and you click on the Villa Montezuma page, it will direct you on how to donate your funds, because you have to send it to the Friends of the Villa Montezuma. It doesn't come to me. and you have to designate on your check that it's to fix the foundation of the house.
Oh, that's a fantastic and worthwhile thing
that people can do.
I like that idea.
It's a beautiful Queen Anne Victorian. It's all hardwoods and stained glass. It's absolutely gorgeous.
Kind of like the winery here.
Yeah, a lot like
from.
The haunted Warren Winery. Yeah.
We broadcast from. Bonnie, hang on the line for 1 second. We do have to go to break. Okay?
Thank you, Bonnie.
Hang on for 1 second. Busy show, like I said.
And it continues. Our good friend Dwayne Claude coming up right after this.